Phone the comment line 1850 715 900.
Dublin house prices soar 18% as buyers feel heat. Dublin property prices up by 25% in 1 year. Just a couple of the headlines you may have seen of late. Now, my next guest, however, advises against knee-jerk reactions and says that to buy a house in the next 2 years might be foolish. He should know. He's the chairperson of the housing agency. Conor Skehan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming in. Just tell me, first of all, what does the housing agency do, the National Housing Agency?
Well, that's a great place to start, because the housing agency are one of the new things that exist that didn't exist before for dealing with these types of issues. So we give advice to the government. We do research. We're involved in a lot of nitty-gritty stuff like fixing all those pyrite houses. We've been working with NAMA to help reduce the number of ghost estates. A lot of practical work, a lot of advice and a lot of research.
How long are you on the go?
I personally am on it for about the last 12 months.
And it was set up when?
I'm the first chair.
Okay, so it's a very recent agency. People might call it quango, but that might be a bit unkind. Now, why might it be foolish for a hopeful or a would-be homeowner to buy right now?
Well, we're recovering from a huge crisis that took place since 2008, where house prices collapsed by 50 to 60% in some instances. So we're seeing the recovery from that. I got an awful slagging back in 2011 when I predicted that in 2014 the prices would recover very quickly, because I used the analogy of what would happen if you held a ping pong ball under the water and let it go. That's exactly what's happened. So all the figures that you just mentioned a moment ago, while taken in isolation, appear dramatic. But what they are is a recovery back to a normal market.
And they only apply largely in Dublin and some of the other big urban areas.
Well, that's one of the big truths that people have to face up to, and I'm glad that you mentioned that. It's going to be a very asymmetric, a very uneven recovery. Some parts of the country are going to be much slower to recover than certain core areas of Dublin.
And do you have a reason, or do you have a basis for saying, Conor, that you think house prices, and by which we include, or in which we include apartment prices as well, obviously, dwelling prices, that they won't continue to go up?
Yeah, well, we're seeing a few things. One of the reasons they won't continue to grow up is there's people like the agency there shouting stop. That's one of the big differences. You know, the way at the end of a crisis, people always say this time it's different and it's leading to more problems. This time it's different at the start of the recovery, because we're there to say this is a frothy period. The froth will blow over. Just bide your time. We're not saying to not buy at the moment, but don't feel that you're going to miss the property ladder or any of those types of phrases that cause people to rush out and spend money they mightn't just have yet.
Yeah, but that's fine. But what if, you know, people wait and they take your advice and they discover, you know, in 6 or 12 months' time, they've gone up another 10%?
Well, things don't go up in isolation from the normal laws of economics, which have to do with supply and demand. And so we're working very closely with the government and with all the local authorities, particularly in the Dublin area, to understand the speed with which houses are going to come back on the market. We know that there's a very significant number. There's over 25,000 houses already permitted that are sitting there, as the Taoiseach says, shovel ready in the Dublin area. We need about 30,000 roughly in the next 5 years. And on top of that, Dublin has about 500,000, about 500,000 houses, about 8% of which are vacant at the moment. And then on top of that, there's a whole bunch of people who've been biding their time waiting to sell until they see the prices right, and they're all going to come on the market. So what some people describe as a housing shortage is a shortage of houses for sale.
There are several elements in what you just said. What about this suggestion that there's 8% of houses unoccupied? How do you come to a conclusion like that, or how do you know that that's the case?
Well, there's a lot of different ways of gauging it, one of which is what takes place at census night. The census is extraordinarily carefully carried out, where the individual enumerators go back to the address again and again to make sure that it really is vacant. So that's one. There's a number of other measures as well that go all the way from the general housing right down to local authority housing. So it's quite carefully measured. And I should stress that vacancy in housing at any given time is a normal thing when houses are in probate, when people are waiting to take over a new house. There's lots of reasons why there's normal levels of vacancy in any given market.
Now, recently there was a study carried out. It was at the behest of estate agents, and you can say, yeah, they're a vested interest, but the conclusion was that some 35,000 housing units will be needed by 2018, and that there's only planning for 26,000 in Dublin.
Right, yeah, that's right. Well,
do you dispute that?
No, they're not dissimilar to the figures we use, but as I just said a moment ago, the number of houses that are going to be required are closely matched by houses that are currently on the chocks, that are have planning permission ready to be built, plus the additional two sources that I mentioned, which is that you're going to get a decrease in the vacancy levels that are sitting there at the moment, and you're also going to get an increase in the number of houses for sale. And so there's quite a lot of reticence still by people to either crystallise their losses or realise that their dream of the house being worth 600,000 isn't realistic, and they'll put them on the market.
And we know as well, though, that, for instance, NAMA is working, and you could say not with enough builders, but it it is working with some and helping them to get back back in the game again, so to speak. But again, that seems to be slow enough in the way it's unfolding that people can't get enough finance to get projects underway.
Yeah, this is one of the features that caused both the end of housing bubbles, so to speak, to become a traffic crash and why the beginning of the recovery is difficult. There's a thing called stickiness in the market where it takes a while for the housing supply to come back to meet the demands, and that'll last, we reckon, about 18 to 24 months. So we're working with the government. We had a housing summit during the summer. We got all the great and the good together in Dublin Castle, and we were able to present Ministers Kelly and Ministers Coffey with 113 ideas for how to get ourselves through the next 18 to 24 months until normal housing conditions apply. The big message, I suppose, for the listeners is that a lot is happening about this. There's an awful lot of people working together to try to deal with these types of issues, and this is not being ignored. It's not something, it's on the cabinet table most weeks. People are very, very concerned to make sure that this recovery, these challenges, don't become a crisis. They are just challenges at the moment.
So you're saying no fear of another property bubble?
Absolutely, categorically not.
No danger of you being complacent about this?
Well, if I'd be complacent if we were doing nothing. We are carrying out research ourselves constantly. The agency meet, agency staff meet NAMA staff every fortnight. We're in and out of the department. We have researchers on the ground. We're commissioning research into it. We're speaking to everybody. We were at a launch of a book by Lorcan Sir last night about renting. There must have been 80 people in the room. We make it our business to talk to everybody, to builders, to the business people, to the auctioneers, to the homeless agencies. We speak to everybody. So we try to make sure that that the minister gets the real facts of what's going on the ground.
When you say, and you did, you recorded a thing in the Irish Times last May, as saying that the old construction model is broken. Mm. What do you mean by that?
The old model, there's a number of elements have to change. One of them is finance, which is that the builders would try to, for instance, incrementally finance a scheme. They might get permission for 100 houses. They'd build 15, use the money from those 15 to build the next 15, etc., etc. So, for instance, that works very well if you're building semi-Ds. But if you're building what the market now needs, like our estimates are, believe it or not, that over 50% of all houses needed from now on in the Dublin area are for one and two people. That's something that doesn't lend itself to semi-D building. But building an apartment block, you have to have the whole apartment block built and the whole estate finished before you can sell one of them. So those days are changing. Very different kinds of finance, very different kinds of developers, very different kinds of builders involved. And all of that is taking a bit of a while.
Yeah, but the main concern has been of late for, say, young families or people who want to start a family and they don't necessarily want to live in an apartment, or some of them may have bought an apartment and now need a bit more space and they want to move.
Exactly. And so the need that's being described is exactly that. As people changing their status in life. So you get empty nesters, downsizing, you've got people moving from an apartment to their first family home, and there will always be a need for housing. It's a bit like the kids getting new trousers going back to school in September. There's always growing going on in society. Different houses, different types of houses, different places needing them, and that's the need that people are discussing in these documents. It's not like something dramatic or new has happened. It's just need.
What about people though, like say Father Peter McVerry, who deals with a particular strand of housing needs, saying that there's a crisis like we've never seen before. We've got six new people becoming homeless every day.
The discussion of housing, there's a series of different topics in housing which are all separate, and people for a variety of reasons try to mix them up. In Dublin on a typical night there could be up to 200 people sleeping rough in various different ways. It's rarely more than that, but that's what it is. It's a figure, it's an amount, and the reasons for them sleeping rough are very complex and well known. There are a very large number of agencies dealing with that, so that's 200 people. There's about 2,800 people who are in emergency accommodation, and those numbers have been fairly flat for a while. In fact, if your listeners are interested, there's a fantastic article in today's Irish Times by Dr. Owen O'Sullivan talking about how homelessness in the European context, saying how small Ireland's homeless problem is and how well it's dealt with. So the agencies who make noises at this time of the year before the budget and around Christmas, they're another type of group who are trying to make a case for saying that there's a bigger crisis than there actually is. Our job is to point out what the realities are, to make sure that the factors that lead to bubbles, that lead to inflation in the market, are not allowed to go unchallenged. That's our job.
Maybe we'll be inviting you back in to talk, or maybe to engage in a discussion with somebody like Peter McVerry or somebody else in the coming days or weeks. But again, the point is made that there are something like 156 families with 341 children. This is fairly recently. This is just in the last fortnight, living in Dublin hotels. That's more or less a constant figure throughout the summer. There's a crisis for those families, isn't there?
Absolutely. There is probably nothing short of a death that's a greater crisis for the individual when it happens. It's traumatic, it's searing, and it completely takes away your foundation for what you thought was certain. And that's all the reason to make sure that when that happens, it's treated with dignity and not used as fodder to try to talk up something into being a crisis that it's not. The accident and emergency ward down in Vincent's down the way is full of people who are having something awful happen to them once in a lifetime. They have a heart attack or they break a leg. It's a terrible crisis for that one person. But individuals having crisis and a country having a crisis are completely different things. And showing no respect to those people who are terrified to try to talk it up and make another 40 people terrified for every one person who has a real crisis.
Yes, but if you have, you know, overcrowding and people on hospital trolleys, and I know we're drifting into another area, but you know, you drew the analogy, and there are people waiting for 24, 48 hours to get a bed, or if they're waiting, you know, several months or years to get a house. That surely is something that can be termed a crisis without anybody being accused of exaggeration.
Individuals in crisis will always be with us. A very famous man 2,000 years ago said there's some things will always be with us. And crisis, human crisis, will always be with us. There was a fantastic survey done by a journalist who has to be praised to the sky in the Journal of all things, who went and looked at the reasons for homelessness and looked at different cities around the country. So in Limerick, for instance, they found the vast majority of the homelessness that was occurring there in any given night had to do with marital abuse, for instance. So we need to look a little bit deeper below the surface of what's causing these things. And it's definitely the business about putting one brick on top of another brick is not always going to be the answer to these problems.
Nonetheless, though, we've seen a proposal from the Assistant Chief Executive of Dublin City Council and their Head of Housing, Dick Brady, calling for the building of prefabs on derelict sites to house homeless families. What would the housing agency think of that?
I'm afraid the housing agency would be adamantly opposed to any temporary measures. Temporary measures have a way of becoming permanent. Look up and down the length and breadth of the country at schoolyards that have got porta cabins, and then we must hold out for those people to have the best possible houses for the longest possible period, and that means a permanent house being provided. So we in the agency will work very hard against short-term solutions.
Really? You think that it's preferable to leave people for a short time in a hotel or a B&B where they're turfed out in the street at 10 o'clock in the morning or even earlier, as opposed to giving them more temporary solutions where they would have their own four walls, that have different bedrooms, that have properly insulated homes for a period?
Our evidence that we have gathered, and that's what we're in the business of, giving the government evidence. Our evidence is that those well-intentioned actions have a habit internationally of becoming permanent solutions that leave people worse off in the long term than they are in the short term. So to answer your question without ambiguity, we would prefer, and we will work very hard to make sure there's permanent solutions in place.
What about the rental increases, though, that are going on wholesale? And I have to accept and apologise to listeners outside the Dublin area, because this is really what we're talking about in the main, that they're going up to the point where people feel they just can't afford it because their rental allowance doesn't match what they're being asked to pay now, and also their salaries don't in many instances.
Hmm. There's a few things taking place at the same time there, and again, housing isn't any one issue. There's a whole range of issues, but affordability is the main thing we're saying to the government over and over again. To stop the debate being about availability and having the debate that people who build houses want us to have, we want to talk about affordability. Affordability is the key to everything, to make sure that the price of rents and the price indeed of sales match salaries, both in terms of what people can afford in absolute terms and what they can afford in terms of the rest of their income and the rest of their lives. So we are working very, very hard with the government to make sure that affordability is brought to the front of the debate.
What about, again, a suggestion from the aforementioned Father McVerry that up to 35,000 home repossessions could take place in the next few years as a result of financial institutions moving against people who took out buy-to-let mortgages that they can't afford to repay?
Yeah, that's a very good example of the type of issue that can turn an ordinary event into a crisis, and where the point at which that becomes a crisis is where the person does not give adequate notice and make proper provision for the person who's currently renting from them. So these are non-bricks and mortar procedural issues that are rightly being drawn attention to that can be addressed very, very quickly and very, very simply to avoid these things that cause people and families to be distressed by being put in crisis of the type you described.
What about the government actually going out and buying more houses for people to put them into?
The issue, as I said a moment ago, is not a shortage of houses. We are building a very large number of houses at the moment. We have a very large amount of vacancy at the moment. And what we're trying to do is get people to utilise the resources. We've over 2 million homes, dwellings in Ireland at the moment. We have to use those better. We've 18 months crisis or challenge to get through. We have to get through the next 18 months. And all the figures we have suggest that we will have adequate housing to get rid of the things that are driving up things like rent and house prices by then.
I suppose there's no crisis in places like, I'm just looking at a county by county analysis for the third quarter in 2014. It was published in the Irish Times just a couple of days ago, where you look at, say, Leitrim, prices of three-bed semis, 67,800, Roscommon, 80,000, Cavan, 85,000, Longford, 63, Westmead, 99,000, Offaly, the same figure, 99,000. Tipperary 110, Cork then 175, Mayo 100,000, Galway 150, and so forth. And then you, as you move closer to the east coast, you get Kildare 164, Wicklow 250, Meath 135, Louth 135, and then Dublin 260. So there may be an issue, and Pat Rabbitt alluded to this in the studio a couple of weeks ago during our Friday gathering conversation, that There is merit in the in house prices increasing in some parts of the country, in order for it to become if to justify, or at least to make it viable for people to build houses. There's no point in building houses if it costs more to build them than you can sell them for.
Hmm. And we may very soon be in a very unusual situation where the differences, the very stark differences you've described there, go from being something that's either a worry for people or maybe even a stigma to being an advantage. So you'll have somebody, for instance, I was in Roscommon yesterday looking at Roscommon and meeting people up there about the things they're trying to do to create jobs. And the opportunities to create jobs can sometimes be boosted by being able to boast, look, we've got very affordable and very high quality housing and a fantastic quality of life available to you. Why don't you come to Roscommon instead of going to Rathmines? So it could be an advantage.
Yes, if there's a job there.
That's the trick. But I mean, the thing that will bring the job to the place is being able to demonstrate an affordable high quality of life.
One text here, please tell Conor Skehan I can introduce him to three young professionals who in the last 18 months have had to change flats three times because they could not afford the increase in rent demanded.
Yeah, the issues that surround rental, as I said, there was a very good book launched on rental last night, Lorcan Sir's book, and one of the things everybody at the issue was talking about was the fact that we need to change some of the procedures around rental. So for instance, giving people adequate notice, giving them security of tenure, giving them the right to be able to expect the price to stay fixed
rent
for 12
controls.
Months. Rent controls mean different things to different people. So some people mean that the state tells you what you can charge. Other people, rent control means having humanity and compassion at the back of the practices to make sure that people have got the kind of security to avoid the situation described by your texter.
Conor Skehan, chairperson of the Housing Agency, thank you very much indeed for coming to studio. We'll be talking about mental health after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.